always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
If I'm Luca, I am looking at this because it's the exact opposite message of, like, remember when the Lakers signed LeBron, there was all the talk of, like, this is the Kobe extension, and this is what happens when you show stars how you treat them on the way out, and that they're more valuable than just their basketball ability, that you are going to honor their contributions to the franchise, and you are going to continue to pay them what they're actually worth, like, in an economic sense, not necessarily in a basketball sense with the new second apron, but we're going to continue to pay them because we know how much money we're making off of the fruits of their labor and off of their potential farewell tour or whatever it may be. And this, to me, again, very different situations with in the current apron era, and also just in terms of, like, how long Kobe had been with the franchise and all of that stuff, but it's still sending the exact opposite message of, hey, like, once you're sort of, like, you've outlived your usefulness to us, like, we're going to treat you just like any other team would. It's not, there's nothing special about how we, like, treat aging stars here.
Yeah.
And Luke is not aging, so does that matter? I don't know. Like, you know, but, like, it might matter down the line.
Well, I think there's a couple of factors at play here that are worth noting, right? It's a lot easier to give Kobe the contract when you're probably going to suck anyway. And it's just like, here, man, we're going to pay you a whole bunch of money to lose a whole bunch of basketball games. You can't do that when Luka is literally on the team and you have Luka expectations on that same team. Now, the counter to that, though, is that LeBron was still good at basketball when you kind of sort of said, you know, like the gift from The Office where Steve, like, Michael Scott, like, closes the door on that old man. Like, that's basically what the Lakers have done this offseason with LeBron, is just kind of close the door on him. And it's,
and
like,
they were,
no,
like,
no,
it's weird. He didn't try to open the door again.
Yeah. Well, and it's just like, I think that they have, I think honestly for years, they have taken for granted what LeBron is as a basketball player. And I think they have only, you know, doubled and tripled down on that practice over those years, and finally arrived here now. And it's like, all right, yeah, you know, step one of our plan was to tell LeBron rescind his free agency rights so that we could have all of this cap space and stuff like that. But one of the steps in that plan has to be replacing the production of the all NBA caliber basketball player that you are closing the door on, you know, at a time where you are trying to win a championship. And, like, you know, there was that report that Rich Paul has contacted 27 teams, over the, you know, course of this whole thing. And it's like, all right, so it's not Memphis and it's not the Lakers. And I want to know who the third team is. Sacramento, I guess.
Not going to the Celtics, actually. Yeah. That's it. Maybe they counted the Lakers because they technically did talk to them. So it's like the Kings and the
Celtics.
The Celtics were off the list. I feel like there's no way the Clippers were on the list.
I don't know. Ballmer has enough
money.
All
the word for years has been like LeBron doesn't want to play there. You know?
Yeah.
Like, he knows that's going to be his, like, MJ Wizards, you know, mixtape if he plays on the Clippers.
Yeah. And I guess the other point, you know, on top of, like, the pettiness and Luka taking note of this, it's also just like when you are such a level of petty, and when you are such a level of immature in the ways that we have seen from Jeannie Buss in these couple of examples, it kind of proves an inability to separate the personal from the professional, you know, and it's a bad leadership trait. You know, to like, basically, it really feels, Harrison, like it was important to the Lakers that the relationship with LeBron James ended this summer, you know, and that's different from an important part of the plan is that we had to renounce LeBron's rights. Like, and we know this is the case, right? They've had this plan in place. Project 2026 has been a thing for like a year and a half, 2 years, basically. They knew that eventually they were going to arrive at this place here. So they talked about like, oh, how are they going to, you know, have those conversations, you know, with LeBron for weeks and arrived at the, well, we just won't. You have known that a big part of this cap space plan was going to be utilizing LeBron's cap hold and Rui's cap hold. All of these useful players who you would, I would prefer to have, like, I'd rather have Marcus Smart at the $6.5 million contract that he's at than Colin Sexton at $9 million. And it doesn't seem as if the Lakers, like, they basically, it was just like on their whiteboard. It was all right. Cap space plan. Step one, open cap space. Step two, blank. You know, it's like at some point you have to take into account the caliber of teammates and players that you already have on your books and figure out some way to have a conversation with them that at least opens the possibility that you could bring back useful players. But it seems like Rui, who took less to go to the Clippers today, even though he desperately wanted to be in LA, there didn't seem to be a plan to bring him back. There wasn't, you know, didn't appear to be a plan to bring Marcus Smart or Luke Kennard or LeBron James back, even if they looked at the market and realized that the best players on the market were their own. And it just, I don't know. I just think the leadership here in this front office, in this organization, has been so short-sighted for so long. And I just cannot wait to just be done with this. Like this, I'm sick of having this conversation with you on the show.
Well, I think we're probably close to done with it because there's just not another opportunity for them to have this sort of relationship with a star anytime soon. So I think we're probably good with that. I mean, hopefully. I don't know. Maybe there's some other ways that they can screw up the personal touches, but probably not with an aging possible GOAT candidate.
Yeah, maybe they'll start calling him Luka Doncic. Right. Like the way that, like, for some reason, like play by play guys who like do it for other teams for some reason still don't say Luka's name right. So maybe that's what they've been doing so far.
Do they really? Like, that up.
Oh, yeah. Listen, you like maybe not play by play guys, but color commentators for sure. Like ex players.
OK, yeah.
Say it all the
time. Yeah, that's like. That's wild because it's like his name gets said out loud all the time. This is not a Mamu situation.
Yeah, right. Mamu, whose name you and I are literally afraid to try.
Literally,
to say.
No one's ever said his full name. I don't think since the signing on any Lakers podcast. Like we do actually. Like we.
I hope
we
need he signs Mamu.
Yeah.
All right, we have a few super comments, so we will go ahead and answer some of those before we get you guys out of here. First, we have to play the most important sound on the show. All right. The first one that we had right at the top of the show, we have a few. Holy cow. All right. We got to get through these. Matthew the Sicilian writes, was listening to a pod I won't name. It rhymes with Schmoop Schmolective. A few months ago, the Lakers picks were worthless. And today they were described as a haul. Does anyone hold these guys accountable? I mean, I didn't listen to today's episode, so I don't know who was calling out what.
So I will say there's only one candidate on that pod who would have called the Lakers picks worthless. And he is now apparently an Atlanta Hawks executive. So I don't, it's like if Anthony says something, I'm not accountable for that on here and vice versa. It's like I was also here, but I didn't say it. And so that's sort of potentially where I would go with that. But I do love, I got to say, Matthew, I love that you just said it rhymes with Hoop Collective. when we got that before the show, I laughed very hard. So I want to shout you out.
Here's the thing. I'm friendly with those guys. So like, I know I'm going to, and I'm literally about to see maybe one or two of them in Vegas in a week.
Me too. So,
yeah, I'm guaranteed this comment is coming up.
Well, and I don't know that anyone necessarily described them as like worthless, but they literally did not have picks that they could trade a couple months ago, and now they do have picks that they could trade, and this is what they traded them for. So I don't know, that feels like a semantic nitpicking.
One rumor.
There's much worse things in media, in sports media even, that we can hold people accountable for than like the I think the Hoop Collective guys generally are pretty honest and do a good job and say their opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I
know Lakers fans hate Bontemps, but Bontemps, like, we're going to miss having a guy like Bontemps in the media that is willing to just light someone on fire and then like have to go back to the team the next day and like try to report a what is like happening with their trade deadline efforts.
Yeah.
They're like, Tim, we haven't heard from you since you went on air and said you wanted to shoot Killian Hayes to the moon.
No, I think a greater example of the issues in sports journalism is that we have gotten two different articles from ESPN about the inner workings of the Lakers and their interpersonal dynamics with like them and LeBron and stuff like that. And we have still not gotten a single actual bit of reporting that wasn't aggregation on the Clippers aspiration scandal. Not one.
I don't know, Anthony. That seems like a bunch of nothing. Like, I don't know. Like, what do you, okay, Kawhi's going to put out a statement and he's going to say, I'm sorry, I didn't plant any trees. And, you know, and then it's not a big deal.
He literally,
and he's actually going to put it out on Kawhi Tampering Payments LLC letterhead.
You know, what would be funny. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall for like to be watching Steve Ballmer react to finding out the LLC names that Kawhi was setting up.
He's like going to Lawrence Frank, like, and he's like, and so at no point you asked him to change the LLC name.
Like, this thing has all been so stupid. The aspiration thing, like the everybody's behavior in that whole thing has been so stupid that like I really want to be in the room with Steve Ballmer as these findings come out, and as he gets to like, we couldn't have had him plant one tree. Not one. We couldn't have filmed a video of him planting one tree. We were planting him anyway.
It would have been such a funny video too, because he would have been, you know, he would have been Kawhi in it. He would have been like, I love trees, and then like a thumbs up, and that would have been it.
Exactly. Matthew the Sicilian writes, are you guys excited about the DeMar DeRozan as the backup center? Harrison, we just did a whole like conversation about how the Lakers don't have a power forward. They also don't have a backup center right now.
No, I just realized like the Lakers are definitely going to try and get in on DeRozan for the four, aren't they?
For the four? He's like 6'6", right? Isn't he like 6'7"?
I mean, he plays like a four.
He shoots power forward shots, that's for sure. Oh, God.
Oh, I cannot think of a player they need less.
I think he goes to Golden State. I don't think.
Ugh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, whatever. That's not my problem. It's none of my business.
Joey Luckow writes, is DFS cooked Dalton in a second to Charlotte in a, you know, and then I guess Charlotte would like wink and nod and they would cut him after the fact.
Wait, why would they have to? Couldn't they just trade him?
Well, like, I don't know why you would trade them stuff and then hope that they cut him after you send them stuff.
I'm sure if there's any team that the Lakers are going to be able to get like a strong collaboration that like sort of an off the books thing like this would require on, like, I think they're going to get that from the Charlotte Hornets. I think the Charlotte Hornets really want to do them a favor and sort of keep things on the down low. But I don't know. Maybe they'll do Hornets Crimes LLC where they'll take the 2 second round picks into.
The Lakers should just show up. Like, just Rob should just call Charlotte and be like, hey guys, do you still want Dalton? Here, you can have him for cash. We will give you cash and Dalton. How about that?
Would fit with the franchise directionality they're going.
Let's see. The next question that they have, not the direction, wouldn't fit the Lakers direction. Giving away white guys doesn't seem what they're interested
in. Yeah, actually, that's true. Yeah, they got to keep Dalton for their own culture.
Let's run UNLV writes, walking away from this offseason, I can't help feeling because of how they managed the end of the AD LeBron era, Luka never had a chance to win a chip here. Well, here's the thing, man. If this whole cap space plan isn't fruitful, they don't have very many avenues to pivot. They, you know, I know Pete was on the show and he was saying how, like, you don't need draft picks. Draft picks aren't the only way to make trades or whatever. And it's like, yeah, I get kind of what he's saying there. But like every single big transaction that has happened has featured at least a pick, right? So I think Luke is good enough to make this work. Like, I think to the tune of a championship. You know, no.
If he can't, you can probably get more picks back for Luka than the Mavs did. And then you got your picks. All the picks are less valuable in today's NBA.
I think,
like,
they
truly are, like, just like the wheel greasers. And so that's like the part that just like sucks, is that you don't have that extra little asset to just like throw on top and be like, okay, yeah, these players aren't equal. And maybe one of these contracts is worse than the other, but we're giving you this other value in this other way that makes both people agree to do this trade.
Well, it's also like the part of trade conversations that I feel like doesn't get covered enough, especially when it's like a good player or a star or an all-star or a superstar, or whatever. They, like, people, I don't think often enough take into account the PR sell that teams that traded that player then have to do, right? Like, one of the things that the Lakers were hoping for was how, when, you know, the Bucks were eventually going to have to trade Giannis, and the Lakers pitch was like, well, we could send you a big salary exception. And it's like, those people have to look at their fans and be like, guess what, everybody? Salary exception.
Guys,
how pumped are you?
Saved. You are not going to believe how much money we saved.
Yeah.
And you're going to be so excited when we tell you.
Right. And so, like, whenever I heard that aspect of this whole 2026 plan, I always kind of rolled my eyes. It's like, you don't understand how those trades have gone down. All of these owners have crazy egos. They all say, like, all right, we're going to try to be competitive right away. And it's like, they wind up being wrong. So maybe you're hoping that you get the one owner who realizes they should just skip that step, but it hasn't happened. That doesn't happen. Next question comes from Let's Run UNLV. Luke is good enough to get us to a conference finals, but it's more likely he never makes the conference finals as a Laker than wins a chip as a Laker. Oh, no, I disagree. He'll make a conference finals.
Well, I'm just talking about strictly like numerical likelihood outcomes. I would say the odds are probably lower of a championship than not making the conference. Like, you know, only two teams make the conference finals every single year, and winning a title, only one team wins the championship. It's really hard. So, like, I would think that your odds of being in the 26 teams that don't make the conference finals, you know, every year that he is here, is higher than being like one of the one teams that wins the title during however many years that is.
Yeah, I think if you just go strictly statistical there, but I would be shocked if Luka never make, because of the, like, with all of the parity in the NBA nowadays, you're going to have so many of these teams just like filtering through. And the one thing that the Lakers have that a lot of these other teams don't is, I think Luka truly is like a top three talent. I don't know how long, like, Giannis is going to be a top three talent. I don't know how long Jokic is going to be a top three talent. I have, like, Luka is literally entering his prime right now. So if the Lakers have Luka for the entirety of his prime and they don't make a conference finals, I would be shocked. I would be absolutely shocked. And I also think that, like, the other aspect of this that I would gamble on here is that if this plan doesn't, like, if, like, Kessler isn't the superstar that Rob Pelinka thinks he is, if, you know, this group doesn't grow organically to the extent that, like, Luka is any closer to a conference finals or a championship than he was when he first got here, the people responsible for this plan will be fired and they will be replaced by Dodgers people. And so long as that happens while Luka is still here, if Luka is with the Lakers as they are fully Dodgerfied, that's when I think, like, I would be shocked if Luka doesn't win a champion, get to a conference finals,
make a conference finals. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that it's like, you know, I'm certainly not like putting a ceiling on the team of like, you know, second round out or whatever, but I just mean like, you know, it's hard to win a title.
It is tough that you have to go through like one or both of San Antonio or OKC every year to get to the conference finals. So like from that standpoint, I understand some of the concern there, but I just think that like either this plan works out and they get to a conference final, or this plan doesn't work out. They get worse next year, because I think they are worse right now than they were last year. They get worse, and then now all of a sudden, they, you know, like the people who were responsible for making this team worse than it was last year, especially when getting worse involved costing Mark Walter all kinds of retirement tour money from LeBron, those people who would be responsible for that wouldn't, I don't think, stick around for very long. Matthew the Sicilian writes, how do you feel about Jericho Sims? He makes the minimum in Milwaukee, and they already have Ware and Turner. I think they are looking to trade Turner before they would trade a player as young as Sims. So I think they would prefer to go into the season next year with Sims and Ware on their roster and Turner off of it. And they would just be as cheap and bad as they can possibly be. Sims is that archetype of like crazy athlete who I would like for the Lakers to add to their center repertoire. But yeah, I don't think the Lakers have the assets to do it. All right. Harrison, anything that you want to plug?
You know, I will plug that Nikola Jokic, as we were recording, says that he was talking in Serbia, I guess, and said that he wants to be a Nugget for life, but he is delaying contract extension talks. And, you know, that's not obviously like as relevant to the Lakers anymore, given all the moves that they made and whatever. But, you know, given him and Luka's, you know, they seem to be pretty tight, they get along really well. I'm always going to, you know, wonder if that's out there.
Yeah, I asked around, and it sounds like the thinking there is that he is looking to maximize his earning potential, which Yossi
and he also can get a no trade clause if he resigns.
Yeah, so this is from our mutual friend Yossi Goslin, who writes, Nikola Jokic can get a 4-year max by extending any time between now and June 30th of 2027. He can get a 5-year max with a no trade clause if he resigns with the Nuggets as a free agent in 2027. So
I hope he takes the most possible money and all of the limiting and also the no trade clause.
Yeah, all of it. And also, because at that point, he would be well past 30, I think.
Yeah.
And so you would have Jokic on a 5-year full max with a no trade clause on it.
You got Stan Kroenke, like, you know, like just cold calling teams asking if they'll take one of his other salaries.
Yeah, that's what they would.
Anybody want Cam Johnson for free? I'll send cash.
Yeah. I did laugh at the because it was like a news cycle where it was like going into the summer, everybody knew that they needed to move one of their starters. And then Jokic was like, I'm not signing an extension. And then it was like, actually, we can keep this group. We can keep
this group together. We definitely can. Or
yeah, who said we can?
Just because he's never paid the tax doesn't mean he won't.
All right. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. Team USA plays tonight. Let's continue this role that team happens to be on. Let's see. Plan is to have Jovan on tomorrow evening sometime. And then, yeah, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications for the show. Use that promo code HMA on PrizePicks. And until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Harrison Fagan. Have a great rest of your night. Make somebody else's. And I will talk to you guys tomorrow.